Jean Vanier is no ordinary man. Born in 1928, he is as close to Canadian royalty as you can get. His father, the late Major General George Vanier, would one day become the 19th Governor General of Canada, a position appointed by Queen Elizabeth II herself, in charge of carrying out the English monarch's ceremonial and constitutional duties in the Canadian provinces. As a teenager, Jean joined the Royal Navy, preparing for a career as a naval officer, and just a few years later, he decided to pursue a different path altogether. He completed a doctorate in philosophy at the Catholic University of Paris, writing a thesis on ethics and the good life. Vanier was the kind of guy who could do it all, and he excelled at it. And yet for all these honors, titles, and diplomas, for his family's prominence, his military service, his educational endeavors and achievements, all these things could not prepare him for what would soon become his life's work, that of seeing the face of God in the lives of people with disabilities, beginning with two men who had spent their lives in institutions, Raphael and Philippe. In a time when people with intellectual disabilities lived in relative seclusion, locked away in institutions, Jean invited Raphael and Philippe to live with him at home, and so began their lives in unconventional community. All the accolades that Vanier had received up until this point, all the attention he'd received for doing so, could not prepare him for the life he would share with people whom society had deemed unworthy of attention. All that he had been taught to put his value in was flipped on its head by living in community with people for whom his titles and diplomas and accolades meant very little. Now, I wonder if Nicodemus felt something akin to that when he met Jesus in the dark. I wonder how he struggled to understand not just a new idea, but something that questioned his very sense of self as a teacher of the law. Nicodemus, you see, was one of the theological authorities of his day, a Pharisee, a teacher, a member of the Sanhedrin, an educated leader of the Jewish community. He was the kind of guy you turn to for answers, and I'd be willing to bet he was humble too, in that way that self-assured people often are, charming even, in the face of a worthy challenger. Rabbi, he begins, from one rabbi to another, of course. We know that you are a teacher who comes from God. We, the established authorities in all matters theological in these parts, we are the type of people who know how to tell that sort of thing, you know. We are the ones equipped to tell whether you're worth all the talk around town. After all, who else is better qualified than me to be the judge of that? Now, you can't blame Nicodemus for all that. After all, he is, in a sense, qualified. He's got all the diplomas he needs to be the judge of that. And yet Jesus has something new to offer him, something that questions the very foundations of Nicodemus's sense of self. This rabbi from a backwater town in Galilee comes preaching a gospel that breaks Israel wide open, bends its doors right off their hinges. He talks of how God has chosen to adopt the whole human family without exception. For God so loved the world, the whole wide world, be they Jew or Greek, male or female, slave or free. That kind of thinking, the kind that breaks the promise of the promised land wide open, is not something that Nicodemus was prepared for. It's not something that his education or pedigree helped him wrap his mind around. This kind of kingdom, the kind led by the Spirit, blowing wherever it chooses, making friend, kin, and neighbor of us all, is something that Nicodemus couldn't quite comprehend just yet. Now, we may not all be teachers of the law, but we each have our sacred cows. when I look at Nicodemus, I am reminded of my own blindness at times. The moments where my pride gets the best of me, the moments when I'm least likely to listen for Christ's voice in another person whose experience is so much unlike my own. I wonder from time to time if I put too much stock on what I know and too little on the ways God can still surprise me. I wonder if in my pride over what I know, in my pride over what I can come to know, I miss out on a whole host of things I don't know, a whole host of things other people could teach me. I wonder if in the moments where we each feel the ground shifting beneath our feet, when someone stands before us and challenges the way we think, feel, and act in the world, whether we could hear Jesus in their words, beckoning us forward, urging us again and again and again to be born anew. I wonder if we, like Nicodemus, could sit more often with the discomfort of not being the expert, to truly listen to the Spirit's movement among us. It is hard work, my friends, to listen with charity, humility, and respect. It is especially hard work to listen when what we are hearing seems to challenge our dearest and most closely held values, the things that we put our value in, the things that define who we are. Yet that is exactly what Nicodemus invites us to do today, to let down our guard just a little, to listen, truly listen, to how the Spirit moves among us. If Jesus holds true to who he is, after all, it means that he will continue pushing each of us forward and outward, letting go of what we think defines us so that we may find new life, new friends, new neighbors on the other side. In 1964, Jean Vanier made a daring attempt to do just that. He invited Raphael and Philippe to live with him, to set up camp at his home. And the experience, lived over 50 years now, has taught him much about what it means to be born anew. The little home that Jean, Raphael, and Philippe formed in Trolley, France, turned into a community, and that community turned into a movement. L'Arche, it is called, French for the Ark, an allusion to Noah's Ark. Those communities are now all over the world, about 150 of them, to be exact. There are places where people with disabilities live in community with those who care for them, creating a space for real relationship across wide-ranging differences. No community is perfect. Yet, Vanier, the son of the Governor General, the naval officer, the philosophy professor, learned that his accolades offered little to the life of that community. Even more, he learned that he had a lot more to offer than what he had grown up believing made his life worthy of attention. Much to offer as a friend and a neighbor, a listening presence and a joyful companion. What is God? This God whose very essence is communion, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in an eternal divine dance, what is this God calling you to give up in order to find new life? What new opportunities would be available to you if you let go of what you thought you knew in order to truly discover something new, to be in communion with someone else just outside your door? I can't tell you what it is that God is calling you to do, but I am excited for you to find out. I am excited for that what that may mean for you and for me in our life together here at St. Paul's. May God grant us the grace to be born ever anew and to seek that life boldly with the Spirit as our guide. Amen.